up, good morning. You guys look pretty good. Everybody doing okay? I can't see your face, so I can't tell whether you're smiling or not. Well, anyways, I want to talk to you today about putting on the whole armor of God. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. After I pray, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. Get to Galatians, you'll find Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to pray, and as we pray, we have several that are home dealing with illness. We have some that are going to have tests this week, and some are going to start treatments in a couple of weeks. So there's all sorts of things going on. So we have one or two that have come down with the virus. Marissa, is she getting over it? So anyways, most of them are just kind of getting over it. So let's pray for one another. Let's go to the Lord and pray now. Father Almighty, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We're here to worship you. Father, we know that all sorts of things are happening in our lives. But I pray, Lord, that you help us set those aside during this time of worship, knowing and trusting that you have it all under control. We know, God, that there's nothing that happens that's outside of your ability to fix it. And we trust you, Father, to know what's best for each one of us. So we pray, Lord, your will be done. Part of your will, Father, is for your people to return back to you. So I lift us up to you, Lord, asking that you would, if there's sin in our life, that you would convict us of that sin. Father, that we would repent of it and then get right with you. Then, Father, you give us the power to pray to Almighty God, knowing that you can change these things. Our world, Father, needs help. Our country needs help. Our Clarksville needs help. Our church needs help. Lord, today I just come with my brothers and sisters to throne of God, asking, Lord, that you would hear our prayers. God, that you would respond to them and straighten out some of the things that are happening now. We do pray, Father, for those that are sick. We ask, Lord, your healing hand on them. We pray, Father, for those that are struggling with finances, that you would take care of their needs. Father, we pray for those that have family issues. We lift those up to you. We lift up our church, Father, as we prepare to build for the future. God, there are things happening every day that can get in the way. I pray, Lord, that you protect us from Satan, his attacks. Father, I pray that as we worship, we would glorify you, and by the way we react to these things, we would glorify you. We do worship you, Lord, and love you and praise you. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Alex, I am still humming. So let's read Ephesians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 10 through 20. The Bible starts out, finally. I want you to remember that word, finally. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, of Satan, of the evil one. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Then Paul concludes this chapter, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in the chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So we're going to look at being equipped for the battle, and I wrote down two titles for this message: being equipped for battle, but then I like this one better: being equipped for war. We're not in a real battle now; we're in a war right now. It's a spiritual war. I heard a song this morning coming into church by Zach Williams, and it was called "Chain Breaker." And the lyrics went a couple of places that if you're chained, bound by a chain, then God is a chain breaker. If your ways are, or you can't find God's way, if you're mixed up in this world, then He becomes a way maker. So as he was singing this song, I thought, well, when you put it all together, God is just a maker. God can make anything and do anything and provide anything that His people need. So today, we're going to look at what He's provided for us to get us through some of this stuff taking place. And I'm going to start out by asking you a question in a second, but first I want to remind you of some things, and probably don't have to remind you of these, you're probably fresh on your mind right now, but I want you to think about the last 5 or 6 months and the changes that we've had to make wearing these things that none of us like. Having to be quarantined and doing without some things that are not available on the store shelves now, the difference in the work ethics that we have, and then the layoffs, and you know, just all the junk that has happened in the last 5 or 6 months to us. But also I want you to think about the slipping morality of this world. Think about the morals of our country and how it's just kind of gone down, down, down. I want you to think about the decline of the traditional family and our lifestyles within the family, all the diseases that we face today and have been for many generations, the different kinds of cancers. You know, if you watch television commercials, you see all these medicines that they've come up with to fight all these diseases. Also, think about the technology that we have at hand now, and it's good sometimes, but it sure opens the door to some evil stuff. The social media that we enjoy, how it can be good one time, and then you can get on and say, hey, meet me at this store, we're going to have a gang meet, and we're going to go in and rob that store. And there's just a lot of stuff that's happened. So I want you to think about all that as you think about the first spiritual battle that you can remember fighting. And I know that all of us can come up with an answer for that. But I want to remind you of a spiritual battle that happened a long, long time ago in a perfect place with 2 perfect people. And there was one tree that God said, do not eat the fruit, knowledge of the tree, knowledge. And they did. All it took was, I don't know what the fruit was, but just the dangling of a piece of fruit. Right then, as they bit into that forbidden fruit, a spiritual battle took place. We have been in a spiritual battle since then. And I remind you of all this stuff because there was one deceiver back then that caused it, the temptation of all of it. That deceiver is the same deceiver that you and I are facing today. The same liar, the same cheat, the same murderer. We're facing the same Satan today that Adam and Eve faced. Do you understand that? This is a huge battle. This is an angel of the Lord that got kicked out of heaven. This is somebody that's more powerful than you and I could ever think about being. God knows this. God created him, God created us. And because he got kicked out of heaven, he's been on the war path ever since. His whole intentions is to destroy God's people, God's church, Israel. I mean, he's just gonna go after it all. So as God spoke to Adam and Eve, do not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they did. And don't you know that Satan was just hee-hawing about it? I've got him right where I want him. And he did. But the consequences back then was God said, if you eat of this, then you will surely die. So I want us to kind of put all this together in our hearts and in a thought process this morning. And I want to start out reading this little story. There is a battle going on every moment of our lives. We have a real enemy who seeks to destroy every shred of hope we have for today and forever. Many people don't even realize the struggle even happening. Followers of Christ called to accept that their daily lives are constantly under attack. They must admit that life is not simply about just some smiling and hope it gets better, but to fight and fight hard. It is a struggle that every person faces, but the follower of Christ, we understand why. Because Satan is nipping at our heels. He's always fighting against us. So as I studied Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, and that's where God tells them, do not eat that fruit, for surely you'll die. And think about all these things I've brought up to you. It dawned on me that the first spiritual battle happened in the garden, which was a picture of the sanctuary. It was perfect there. God was there. His presence was there. He walked with Adam. And where did Satan attack? He attacked God's people in the garden. Then come on up to today. Where is Satan attacked right now? He's attacking the church, God's people still. He's after us, and sometimes he's got us so fooled that we don't even know we're in a war. We don't even know we're under attack. The reason Satan knows where he wants to have victory is because this is God's kingdom, and Satan wants to be king of God's kingdom. He wants to overtake God's kingdom. He wants to destroy us so that he can rule the world. He wants to be king of our kingdom. Let me tell you, he will do anything to destroy us. You agree with that? He will do anything to destroy us, including our health, including our finances, including us, each other with each other. The things that we get mad about, the things that we just don't want to have anything to do with each other. Satan will do all that to us. So the neat thing is, the great thing is, God has given us some tools to fight against Satan. It's called the armor of God. So I want to go over each piece today. I'm not going to explain it all because some of it's self-explanatory. I will give you a thought or two, but I want you to know how to fight this battle that we're in. And then I want you to also think, are we doing it or not? Are we following God's, using God's tools or not? So I heard Charles Stanley talking about the battles with Satan. He describes Satan in such a way, I wish I had written it down or recorded it so I could play it. He just opened up his congregation to realize who Satan is, how bad Satan is. Well, I think you already know how bad Satan is. And he is a murderer. He is evil. He is a deceiver. But he looks awfully good because we paint really pretty pictures of him sometimes. We follow him. The number one thing that we need to understand is that we're in a battle. Satan. He is our enemy. Make no mistake about that. Satan is our enemy. There's a good place to start is in verse 10. So read it with me. And if we just stop to verse 10, we'd have enough to fight Satan. Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Two things in that verse. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of God's might. In And it's available to every Christian. Anytime anybody gets saved, this is available to us to be strong in the Lord and to be in the power of His might. It's available, but I can tell you this, Satan is no match for the power of God. Amen. Remember that. Satan has no power when it comes to fighting God. God can go like that and destroy Satan. One day God will destroy Satan. But he puts up with it, but I don't know why. You don't know why. He has a reason. But be strong in the Lord and His might, because Satan has no power when it comes to matching God's power. I will tell you this. Satan will defeat us if we battle Satan in our power. Paul writes, starts out in verse 10, the word finally. This doesn't mean conclusion. Finally, let me finish this. That's not what he's talking about. It's almost like it's an ongoing thing now. He's given us all this instruction in the past. Now, finally, we're getting to this. It's like he's telling us, put on your tennis shoes and get ready to go. I'll talk to you about that in a second. Get ready because the battle's coming. I'm equipping you. It's right around the corner. It's here now. Be strong in me. Use my might. A Christian will be in the spiritual battle, Paul is saying, for your whole life. Finally, this is going to take place the rest of your life until you come home, until you die. That's not very good news, is it? But that's the truth of the matter. God has placed us here for a reason, and we're going to be in a battle, a spiritual battle, for the rest of our lives, no matter what. So whatever's going on, it's this, if it's finances, it's family issues, we're in that battle. And God says, be strong in me. Use my power. It's Satan. These battles, these wars, will take place in the church, in God's people's lives. I have a feeling, this is from reading about Satan. Satan really doesn't care about those people that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What he does, he cares about us and destroying us because we're God's people. There's a hatred involved. My question before we start this is, are you equipped for the battle? Now, I mean a knockdown, drag-out battle to the end, to the death. This is what God is instructing us about. This is what we need to understand today. We are in a battle, and I'm asking you, are you equipped to fight a battle, to knockdown, drag-out, where somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose? Anybody ever had a big brother? Heidi, did you fight with your big brother? Yeah. That's what, I had a big brother. I still have a big brother. And every night, we fought. Mother would make us do the dishes, and she'd go do at her workshop and leave us two boys alone, and we'd be knocking down. He beat me to a pulp every night. This every night, you'd think I'd be smart enough not to do that, but it was a knockdown drag out. That's what I'm talking about. We are in that kind of fight. Be ready. It's not your big brother you're fighting, it's Satan you're fighting. And be willing to fight to the end. Your end may be tomorrow, maybe 20 years from now, or 50 years from now, but be willing to be in this fight. Engage in this fight in the power of God. And be strong in the Lord as you fight. And this brings us up to the tools that God is going to give us in verse 11. So we'll start there. The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say just put on some of the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And here's what I know. Some of us are guilty of taking the Bible. I like that part, so I'll apply it to my life, but I don't like this part, so I'm not going to do it. So we always, like, I don't like that page, so I rip it out and that's because of my Bible. We had to do the same thing with the armor of God. The Lord instructs, put on the whole armor of God if you want to win our battle with Satan, if you want to stand up to him. I guarantee you, if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're going to lose. And I'm looking at all of us, haven't we lost so many times in battle? Every single one of us. We get engaged, but we don't do the whole armor thing, and we get destroyed sometimes. Satan has had his way in God's people. He's had his way in God's churches. That's why churches split up. Because they don't put on the whole armor of God. They put on partial armor. And God is his instruction, put on the whole armor. W-H-O-L-E. Put it all on. Use it all. So we're going to go over each part of the whole armor. And as I go over it, this is nothing that's going to be new to you. You've heard it before, but let it sink into your heart, because we're at a point now, I firmly believe, that we're in a battle for our lives. The church, many churches are closing up because of this stuff. We're experiencing a decline in attendance. I know that some don't want to wear a mask or they're not coming. Our finances are up right now, but a month from now, I don't know how the finances are going to be. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, we're going to lose this battle. Your preacher's going to continue to preach. I hope that you keep on coming and listening, but this is what we're facing. So look at verse 14 with me. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The belt of truth is the Word of God. So as we engage in this battle and we put on the whole armor of God, it requires this thing, the Bible. He says, gird yourself up with the Bible. That girding, we went over this Wednesday night, they wore long, long robes back then, and they'd have to gird them up, they'd have to pull them up when they wanted to run, when they wanted to get somewhere. It represents a readiness, and they would tuck it in their belt, and this becomes our belt. We need to know it, we need to meditate on it, we need to study it, and we need to hold it up to Satan and quote scripture to Satan. That's what Jesus did as Satan tempted him. So put on or gird yourself up with the belt of truth, and be ready. Be in a state of readiness always, and then fight Satan with this, the truth, and then put on that breastplate of righteousness. When fighting for the Lord, it might take you living a holy and righteous life. That's what he expects from us. Living the way Jesus lived and taught, to live simply a Christian life. We're not perfect, I know that, but we ought to strive to be Christ-like. As we put on the whole armor of God, we're to gird ourselves up with the belt of God's Word and put on his breastplate of righteousness. In other words, as we go out in the world, do what God tells us to do, act like the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't pick and choose. That's if we want to win the battles. Strive to live a godly life. And keep going. Look at verse 15. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This word shod would mean something like this. Put on your running shoes with steel toes. We don't live in a world where we shod our horses anymore. Some do, but we mostly shod our cars with tires. Put on offensive shoes. You go on the offense. You have the Word of God. You're in the Lord's power. You're using his whole armor, and you shod your feet ready to go and battle with Satan with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about that. There's one gospel. There's one way to heaven. There's no other way to heaven. So as we shod our feet to go into battle with God's Word, with the breastplate of righteousness, and we shod our feet with the gospel, we've got to take the truth to the world. we're going to have to stand strong because the world is being controlled by who? Satan, which is this the battle that we're in. And this is where some of us will get defeated big time because we're not taking the gospel to the world. We're not sharing. You know, the world includes Kroger's and Walmart and places we go every single day. We shod our feet with the gospel of Jesus. And then look at verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Great is our faithfulness. God gives us His faithfulness. We have an example of His faithfulness throughout the Bible. You have never seen where Satan has defeated God ever. So how is your faith, how is your shield of faith today? When we see the battle overwhelming us, do we get weak? Do we quit? Do we turn around and run? Or do we put that shield up? And I'm hiding behind Satan. I mean, I'm hiding from Satan behind God's shield of faith that He's put in my heart. Again, let me share with you a thought. Our shield of faith comes from facing these battles and winning these battles. So the more you face, the more you win, the stronger your faith gets. John is the right fact, use you for an example. I heard John tell me how he got well from the COVID-19. God spoke to him. John's whole life, he didn't tell me this, but I know this happened. His whole life he'd been building up, building up, building up. Now he's got this shield of faith and he's in the fight for your life. And God speaks to him. Now, at that moment, John, you could have backed up and said, I don't believe God. I don't believe He can do this. And I promise you, if you had said that, you wouldn't be sitting there now. You would have lost the battle. But he heard God. He believed God. He hid behind God's faith. I mean, God's shield of faith. Praise God for that. That is the answer to fighting these battles. Again, I see several of you that have gone through the same thing. It wasn't COVID, but it was heart disease or it was cancer or something like that. You get behind the shield of God's faith that He's given you, and guess what? You're sitting here today. You won the battle. It requires getting behind God's shield of faith to fight these battles. Now please hear me. Do not lay that shield down. Don't get too scared where you don't think God can do it. Hold that thing up strong. Get behind it and see what God does. I'm asking you this for our church as we look forward to the future. Satan's going to attack us. I know he is. It's going to be a great battle. We're going to win it because we're going to do what we're talking about today. We're going to put on the whole armor of God and we're going to battle to the end. And then verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You put on this helmet of salvation and you pick up that sword of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit power. And it's the Word applying through our hearts and lives. We gird up with that Word. We gird up with the power. We're just walking in obedience. And I'm thinking as you put on that helmet of salvation, that just tells you, you've already won the battle. You put God's helmet of salvation on, you can't lose. So you fight to the end of this earth, but guess what your reward is waiting for you? Man, it's going to be great. Fight that good fight to the very end. Especially if you're using the big guns. That's God and His Word and prayer. Then verse 18, which is big guns, pray always. Pray, pray, pray. We with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All the saints, we're in this battle together. We pray for each other. We lift each other up. We encourage each other. We all put on the whole armor of God together. If we see somebody weak, we pick them up and we help them overcome. Our shield becomes bigger and wider. And if their shield's not quite strong, we share our shield with them. And if that requires four or five people getting behind our shield, so be it. But we do it all together. And we pray for each other. And we don't give up. We fight to the very end. But our end already started when we got saved. We'll never die, will we? We're not on this earth. Paul says, be watchful and persevere. These things are coming. It may be bad now, but it could get a whole lot worse. In fact, it will get a whole lot worse. I'm reading through Revelation again, and boy, they got some things coming. You and I won't have to experience some of it, but during the time we're waiting, we're going to be experiencing these battles, and we're going to feel like we're going through the worst thing in the world. Worst things are coming. Thank the Lord that we're not going to have to experience some of them. But even if we were experiencing them, we've got that helmet of salvation on. We'll battle for the Lord. We'll just engage in His battle with Satan, and we'll win. I promise you, I guarantee you we'll win if we put on the whole armor of God. We'll not win if we don't put on the whole armor of God. I want to close with 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8. Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who do you think he's trying to devour in that verse? Us, God's people, the church of God. And then verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith. Get behind that shield of faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're in this thing together. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. We fight to the end, and God will have dominion. He will be the king. You know, we always say King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This morning in my quiet time, I was praying, and I decided, He's the King. There is no other. There's no King of Kings. He's the only King there is. He's the only Lord there is. So I'm going to quit saying King of Kings and Lord of Lords if I can remember to quit saying it. He's the King. He's the Lord. There is no other. One day, after we've left this earth, we'll enjoy His dominion for our life without Satan forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I sure am looking forward to that time. Experiencing perfect, experiencing no Satan attacks. But from now on till then, I ask you to pray with me that we will engage in this battle together. It's coming. It's not here already. The closer we get to doing things for God, you can count on a terrible, terrible battle. Because Satan is mad. He would hate to see us go forward. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to fight him and everything that God has. Let's pray. Father Almighty, Lord, that you would explain to us what you mean by the whole armor of God. Lord, if we don't understand, I pray, Lord, for your wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to join together, commit together to put on the whole armor of God. And to do it in such a way, Lord, that we're not fighting against each other, we're fighting against Satan. We're we're together, we're unified, we're one body looking to fight the battle against Satan. Lord, I pray for your help. I pray today, Father, that there may be decisions to be made for you. I do ask, Lord, that you would help all of us to recommit our lives today, to realize how serious this war and battle is. That we recommit to put on the whole armor of God in our lives, in our hearts. And then some may not know you, Lord, today as their Savior. Sometimes we go forward and we think we get saved, but we didn't, Lord. So I ask that you would make sure everybody sitting in here today knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But then realize, Father, it's not up to us and what we want in our opinion. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And there's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And then, Father, some may need to make decisions whether to join our church or, Father, to be baptized. I don't know what the decisions are, but you do. God, today, help us to make those decisions. Father, we love you. I thank you for this time with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.